Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
There's no doubt that Usain Bolt was the fastest man in the world in 2011. After all, as he came to the 2011 World Championships in Daegu, South Korea, he had a lot of success behind him. Already, he was the reigning Olympic champion in the 100 meter, the 200 meter, and the 4x100 meter relay race. Not only that, he'd set world records in his two solo events. And already, he'd won the previous two World Championships in 2009 and 2010, winning the same three events. Previously that year in 2011, Bolt was undefeated in both the 100 meter and the 200 meter race. He easily qualified for the finals at the World Championships in Daegu, South Korea. He was confident, at ease, and ready to win. So when the runners lined up at the starting block for the final of the World Championships in 2011 in the 100 meter race, the only question on most people's mind was, who will take second place? But then, the unthinkable happened. Usain Bolt, the world's fastest man, was disqualified for a false start. Before the starting gun went off, he bolted out of the starting block and was eliminated from the race. The man who should have won, the man who could have won, the man who would have won, was left watching when the medals were given out. But the fact is, it's difficult to succeed when you have a bad start. The way you begin has a powerful impact on how you perform. It's true in athletics and it's true in life. That's why it's so vital that you position yourself now to succeed in the new year by starting right. See, starting the new year right puts you in a position to succeed in 2018. So how do we start right? I believe a good start for all of us requires us knowing what God wants to do, hearing His voice of direction in the new year, and then preparing for it. You see, when we prepare our hearts and minds to pursue God's plan in the new year, we position ourselves for success. And that's what we're going to do this morning in our sermon titled, Preparing for Overflow. We're going to discover the truths that will help you get ready for the overflow of God in the new year. But before we learn more, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for bringing us to the end of 2017. My God, you have done it again. And here we are on December 31st. Lord, we know that as you take us into the new year, you have a purpose for us being here. So we ask this morning that you would reveal it to us. We ask today, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and speak to our innermost being that we might hear your word and understand how we can prepare for what you're about to do. We submit to you now. We bind every voice that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to minister grace and truth to us, that at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and we will be blessed. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me. If you would just put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. It's great to have you here on the very final day of 2017. If you're joining us online by Facebook Live right now, a warm welcome to you as well. I trust you will feel the power and the presence of God right where you are. If you're ever in Accra, don't hesitate to join us here at Agape Land. I promise you a warm welcome awaits you. Well, I'm so excited about today and especially about tonight. I know that God is getting ready to move into overflow. If you believe it, say amen. And because of the meeting tonight at 9 o'clock, we've had to make some adjustments to our service schedule. We're only having two services this morning, 8 and 10. And I appreciate everyone making room. I know it's a little bit hectic in the car park. Even as you go, others will be coming. It's a little bit tight, but please bear with us because I believe God is going to make it all worthwhile. Tonight is going to be awesome. If you believe it, say amen. I want to encourage you to make sure you come. come, come early, come prepared to sing and dance, for our theme for 2018 is overflow. Just say that with me. And I'm going to be giving you some prophetic insights tonight in what I believe God is laying on my heart for you as individuals, for us as a church, and for all of us in society. We're going to have the amazing tunnel of fire. Everyone's going to be prayed over and anointed with oil. And also, Heart Song will be in the house tonight outside, leading us in praise and worship. The fact is, there's a lot we have to be thankful for. Maybe 2017 was an amazing year for you. Maybe it was just kind of okay. Maybe some of you are like running away from 2017 like that year was Caleb. But whatever your year was like, we have to thank God. Because here we are at the end of the year and we're still standing. Here we are at the end of the year and we're still in the house of God. Here we are with the presence of Jesus, lifting our hands and giving him praise and glory. Here we are getting ready to enter a new year. And mark my words, God never makes a mistake. He never does anything without a purpose or a reason. And he's kept you here and brought you onto the threshold of 2018 because he has a purpose for you in the new year. He's got a plan for you. You may not know it. You may not see it yet, but I guarantee you as you cross over tonight, God is going to keep you and he's going to help you and he's going to make you fulfill your purpose in 2018. If you believe it, say amen. Because I see a shift coming. I see a new season coming. We're moving out of the year of faith and we're moving into the year of overflow in 2018. You know, a lot of us didn't understand the year of faith. When we came out with the year of faith in January of this year, a lot of people were excited. They say, yeah, faith, this is going to be the year I see all the answers to my prayers. But that's not what the year of faith was all about. See, the fact is, faith is what you hold on to before you get the answer. Faith is what you have. It's the substance of what you're hoping for. It's not the thing itself. Once you get your answer, you don't need faith anymore. And some of you are here at the end of the year saying, what happened? I've had faith all year. I've been in the year of faith and I'm still waiting and I'm still believing because your faith has been tested and God has brought you to this place. But because your faith has held strong and because your faith has held you in the storm and in the drought and in the valley, God is getting ready to give you the answer to your faith, which is overflow. See, there's a lot of things our church has been believing for. We haven't seen yet. We're believing for the expansion of our building. We're believing for a bigger land. We're believing for bigger increase. There are things in your life you're believing for. Some of you have been believing for a husband or a wife. Some of you have been believing for a job or a scholarship or a financial breakthrough, reconciliation in your marriage, or a prodigal to come home. Some of you have been believing for things and they haven't manifested yet. But I sense a shift in momentum. There's a change in the atmosphere. We've held on to our faith and now we're moving into overflow. We're going to reap the reward of our faith and see it manifested in our lives. But if you want to move into the overflow, there's some things you have to know. You have to know that your faith has been tested and will continue to be tested. You have to know that you have to pass the test and hold on. You have to know that you have to work with God to enable the overflow to come into your life. And that's the lesson we learn from the story we're going to read in the Old Testament today, taken from the book of 2 Kings. Chapter 3. It's a story of overflow. And when we understand the truths in this story, we can prepare our hearts for what God is doing in the new year. Now, to help us learn these truths, we printed sermon notes. They're free of charge. You'll find yours in the bulletin. It looks like this. I want to invite you to take it out now and follow along as we discover the three steps to prepare for overflow. And TK is coming to read the main section of the story for us. When we get to the last three verses, he's going to invite us to read it all together. But here's TK with 2 Kings 3.
After Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So Joram set out from Samaria and mobilized all Israel. He also sent this message to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to fight against Moab? I will go with you, he replied. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for their animals with them. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, Is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him.
All right, let's read it all out together. It's on your notes. It's on the screen. Here we go. Help us, TK. 3, 2, 1, go. And Elisha said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches.
For this is what the Lord says.
You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. And you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also deliver Moab into your hands. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Our story begins with three kings, king of Israel, king of Judah, king of Edom, coming together to fight against one single king, the king of Moab. The odds are in their favor. There were three of them and only one of him. They were confident of victory, and so they set out hoping for the best. But in their haste, they forgot to prepare. And the Bible says they went wandering around for 7 days in the wilderness. They got into trouble. And before they knew what was happening, they were out of water. They were in a desperate situation. Maybe you feel like this year you've been wandering in the wilderness for 7 days or 70 days or 7 months. Maybe you feel like these kings. You were confident of success. You started the new year with a fire in your heart. You were believing the odds were in your favor. But somehow, someway, you've been wandering in the wilderness, and here you are in a desperate situation. No water, no provision, no way out. And it looks like the victory that was sure is being snatched away from you. It looks like you're going to be disqualified before the race begins. But I'm here to declare to you today, no matter what you've done, no matter what the situation is, God always has an answer. You may have failed 1,000 times. You may have taken 1,000 wrong turns, but God always has a solution. I thought you'd say amen.
Amen.
And the prophet Elisha tells the kings what God is telling us today. Get ready for an overflow. I'm coming to your midst to save you. I'm on my way to redeem you. I'm coming. You may not know how. You may not see the answer. But suddenly I'm coming through for you, and there will be an overflow. And just like these three kings, we're going to experience the overflow of God in the new year. Just like these three kings, God is getting ready to pour out for us and make provision for us. We may not see where it's coming from. We may not know the solution, but God says, nothing is too hard for me. He is able, and this is a simple thing in his eyes. If you believe it, say amen. So let's understand their example and follow it today. And here's your first truth. You've got to look to the Lord. Take your pen and fill in the blanks with the words look and Lord. You've got to look to the Lord. The first step in preparing for overflow is understand your overflow doesn't come from the east. It doesn't come from the west, the south, the north. It comes from one place and one place alone. It comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The funny thing is, there's no mention of these three kings praying or seeking God before they went out into battle. There's no question they were backsliders. They weren't worshiping Jehovah. They weren't living for God. They had followed false prophets and false gods. But in the time of crisis, in the time of need, they knew where to go. They made the right choice, and they turned to do the right thing and started looking to God. For the Bible says in verses 11 and 12, they began to ask, is there a prophet who hears from God? And someone speaks up and said, Elisha, who was mentored by Elijah. And the king say, let's go to him. And they went down to him. Maybe you're here today. You just came to church because it's the last day of the year and it's the religious thing for you to do. Maybe you came out of superstition because you don't want armed robbers to attack you in the new year. So you thought you'd come and get a little covering by the people of God. Maybe you've been backslidden. You've been out of prayer, out of church, out of paying your tithe. Maybe you're worse than these kings and you've been living in sin or immorality or wickedness. But you can still look to God. It's not too late to turn and look to God. It's never too late to come back to him and begin to cry out to him, because when you humble yourselves, he is gracious and merciful. He will hear you and he will answer you. If you believe it, say amen. That's why the Bible says the kings went down to Elisha. Everybody say down. They went down, meaning they humbled themselves. They gave up their own wisdom. They gave up their own ways. What's troubling some of you today is that you're struggling with your own way. You're struggling with understanding. It doesn't fit what God's doing, what you thought He would do, and so you're struggling with it. But if you will come down today, if you will humble yourself today and begin to seek the face of the Lord, I promise you He will come through for you. For Psalm 69:32 says, "The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged." And I'm here to encourage you today. I'm here to tell you, if you humble yourself, God is going to lift you up. If you cry to God, He's going to answer you. If you turn to Him, He's going to receive you. He's going to bless you and provide for you. No matter where you went in 2017, no matter what you did in 2017, this is a new day. A new year is coming. There is an overflow of grace and mercy, and He's reaching out to you. I want to encourage you today. Somebody say, "I'm encouraged." That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:19, trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you. Just touch your neighbor, say, "He'll never fail you." See, God's the only one that will never fail. If you trust in any other thing, it will fail you. Maybe you've tried a lot of things this year. It's time for you to turn to God. Maybe you've put your hope in your own ability or your own strength or your own wisdom or your talent. Maybe you put your hope in the odds. You say, "Well, the odds are for me, 3-1. Maybe you're trusting in your political party. They won elections, so you should have a breakthrough. But none of those things can take you into the overflow. None of those things can guarantee victory. You can be like Usain Bolt, the man who could have won, should have won, and would have won. But if not for God, you'll be disqualified. For there's only one source that guarantees victory. Only one source that never fails. Only one source of overflow. The Lord God Almighty." That's why David said in Psalm 39:6-7, "We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. You heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in You." And today is the day to drop everything else and look to God. Today's the day to come back to God, to acknowledge Him, to come down in yourself, because there is no God like Jehovah. And here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Your deepest need becomes an opportunity for overflow when it drives you to dependence on God. What looked like a disaster, what looked like their deepest hour of need, actually became the opportunity for overflow. For Psalm 46:1-2 and 11 says, "God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress." Turn your notes over to page 2 and consider this morning. Some of us are confused about what God is doing. You look back at your life in 2017 and you think, "God's not moving at all. God hasn't answered my prayers." I want to tell you, God is moving, and He has been moving in greater ways than you know. You know what God is doing? He's stripping away everything that you could depend upon, so you're left with only Him. God is removing your backup plan. Tell your neighbor He's talking about you. I'm speaking to somebody right over here right now. God's removing your backup plan. You came into 2017, you did what all the experts, all the radio talk show hosts told you. You made your list, you had your, "Well, if this fails, I'll go here, if this fails, go." You're at the end of the year, everything has failed, and you're like, "God, what is wrong with you?" Maybe you didn't say that, but you felt it. God's working in you. He's removing your backup plan. He's stripping you of every support, every strength, everything that you could depend upon. He's taking it all away. He's like, "God, why?" Because when you get to the place where He's all you have, you're in the place of overflow. Oh, some of you didn't like that. But I want to tell you something. The people that get overflow are the people who have nothing else. Some of you so fat, dumb, and happy, God's not going to give you anything. He looks down at you and says, "She's got everything she wants. She's got everything." He's looking for the desperate. He's looking for those who look to him. He's looking for the humble. He's looking for the people who say, I don't have anything else. I don't have nothing to look to. I don't have a backup plan. I got nowhere to go. I got nothing to do. Let me tell you, folks, I'm 61 years old. I've been in the ministry for over 40 years. I got nothing else. I got no backup plan. There's no plan B. There's no other career. There's no other opportunity. There's nowhere else I go. I'm not going back to America. I'm not going back to Nigeria. You're it. This is all I got. So God, you better come through. I ain't got no backup plan. If 2018 doesn't look good, there's nowhere I can go. There's no plane that can take me anywhere. I'm stuck here with you and I'm stuck here with God. But I'd rather be here with you and here with God than any other thing. Because when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Somebody shout hallelujah. And every time I've advanced in ministry, it's when I gave up what I had and trusted God for what he had. I've made three significant moves in ministry, three. First was when I left U.S. and went to Nigeria in 1983. My wife and I were in ministry. We were successful. We were leaders in ministry. We had jobs. We had ministry. We were leading a team. We were leading people. We were doing the work of God. We were seeing souls saved. We could have stayed right there and been happy the rest of our lives. I had to give up something to open myself for something more. When we went to Nigeria, we had nothing. We'd been leaders over there. We had nobody to lead. We had buildings and facilities and members. We had nothing in Nigeria. We started from nothing. But God expanded the ministry, and we got more than what we had. Second significant shift was when we moved from our first city to our second city in Nigeria. We spent 4 years building a church and a Bible school in a city called Sapele. And then God supernaturally moved us to another city. We couldn't understand it. We thought, God, why? We kept praying to go back. But God had better plans. Where we were in our first city, a big multinational company had donated a huge property for our Bible school, land and buildings already intact. We were using it. We had to give that up and move to another city. We said, God, why? After we moved, that company sold the property. We would have lost it anyway. If we tried to hold on to what we saw, we would have ended up empty-handed. We moved to another city called Warri, and our ministry doubled. Our church doubled. Our Bible school exploded. Our ministry went on television. We started seeing miracles of overflow because we gave up what we had to trust God for his. Some of you need to drop what you've got today and open your hands to God and look to the Lord. Our third significant ministry was when we left that place in Warri and came to Ghana in 1994. We had churches. We had a Bible school. We had a TV ministry. We had so much going on there. It was powerful. It was a huge ministry, successful. People knew me. And we came to Achimota and lived in a boys' quarter. My wife, me, our four children lived in a boys' quarter. No ministry to speak of, nothing. I said, God, why? But when you empty yourself, you prepare for overflow. And when I look and see what God has done since we came here, it is more. It is more. It is more than we could possibly have imagined when we started. Give the Lord a praise today. Come on. Every time you look to God and humble yourself and step out in faith, you prepare for overflow. And that brings us to our second truth today. Do not limit the Lord. Take your pen and fill in the word limit. Do not limit the Lord. You see, a lot of us think that we can hold on to what we've got, our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own strength, because we limit the Lord. We don't think he's able to do the great things that we think we want him to do. But listen to what the Bible says in 17 and 18. God says, you won't see wind, you won't see rain, but you will be filled with water. This valley will be filled. You'll have enough to drink, and not only that, you're going to win the battle. In the middle of the wilderness, with no water and no hope, God reminds them that nothing is too hard for Him. And God wants to remind you today, there is nothing too hard for Him in your life. This is the last day of the year. Maybe you're down to nothing. Maybe you've got nothing left in the bank, nothing left in the pantry. Maybe you're in the wilderness and your prayers seem unanswered. Your husband is still off with another woman. Your prodigal is still out using drugs and alcohol. Maybe you're in a situation with no job, no prospect, no hope. You're still waiting for that text or that call or that letter. But God can make a way where there seems to be no way. He doesn't need the wind. He doesn't need the rain. God can do the impossible right now today. For Jeremiah 32:27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Somebody shout no. And sometimes God intentionally puts us in a corner to prove His miraculous power to us. That's what happened to these guys. They were without water in the hot sun, in the desert, in the wilderness, getting ready to face an enemy, and they were discouraged. They were defeated. But God put them in that place to show them, I can do whatever I want. I can rescue you in the wilderness. I can provide overflow in the desert. I can do it without wind. I can do it without rain. I can do it in my way, in my time, for my glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Some of us are limiting God, not just because we don't expect Him to do more, but because we want to dictate how He should do it. These three kings went to Elisha, and they said to themselves, wasn't this the man who was mentored by Elijah? And you remember that Elijah had a time when there was 3 years of drought. And what did Elijah do? He prayed and God sent rain. And I'm guessing these three kings went to Elisha and they said, I know, Elisha learned from Elijah. So he's just going to say, Lord, let it rain. It will rain and our problem will be solved. They wanted to limit God in their expectation. But God is not dependent on how He did it yesterday. God is not dependent on doing the same miracle in the same way through the same people all the time. He did it for me. He may do it for you differently. Is your faith in the method or in the miracle maker? So God tells them something unusual. Start digging ditches and I will fill them. Can you imagine these men thirsty, tired, hungry, dirty, afraid? And He says, go out and dig ditches? What? God, are you mad? Why not just make it rain? But when they did, they offered their faith to God, and God did a miracle. So often we want to tell God how to do it, what to do. A young lady came recently, said, Lord, help me pray. Tell God to tell Him to marry me. Honey, maybe He's not the one. Your expectations are too low. God's got somebody better. I see a man coming who's well-dressed. I see a man coming who's got a job. I see a man coming who's got a car. And you're begging for that thing? Lordy. Give me a promotion, Lord. God knows that company you're working for is under investigation, is going to shut down. You're begging God for a promotion. He's trying to move you to another company. Give me admission to that school. I want a scholarship. Don't you know your future life partner is at a different school? And the door's closed. You have to take God out of a box and let God be God. You got to let go and let God. Don't limit the Lord by demanding He do it your way in your time. For Jeremiah 18 says, then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Don't dictate to God what to do, when to do, and how to do it. Some of us are limiting God because we expect Him to do something in a certain way. One of the biggest problems with the young people in our society today is they've got such a big vision and a big dream. And they've got mapped out how God's going to do it. One of the biggest problems we have is we want to be catapulted into overnight success. You have a vision to mentor youth, so you write a book, and you're praying for the book to be a bestseller. Friend, you may write 30 books before number 31 is the bestseller. You want to build a business empire. I had a young man come to me and said, God's called me to build a business empire. Good. You may fail at your first five businesses before you find the one that succeeds. And to build an empire, you've got to build companies one by one that succeed. See, the fact is, sometimes you have to believe big, but be willing to start small. The kings needed for a big miracle, but God told them to start digging ditches. Are you praying for travel opportunities? Start small. Go get your passport. Are you praying for a new car? Start small. Get your driving license. Are you praying for a wife? Start small. Get a bigger bed. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. Come on, bro. He's talking about you. I shouldn't have said that. My wife's here. I'm going to need a ride home after church. Anybody? Are you praying for a job? Believe big. Start setting your alarm for 5 a.m. and get up whether you have a job or not. Because sometimes you got to believe big, but be willing to start small. If you're preparing for overflow, you go out and dig as many ditches as you can. You go out and do as many acts that you can, no matter how big, no matter how small. You get ready to say, God, I'm believing you for something more. I'm digging ditches. You know how you dig ditches? Take your kids to church. Pray with them every day. Say, well, I don't really know how to pray. Then pray a prayer out of the book. There's prayers in our devotional you can pray. Start doing something every day. Start digging a ditch. You're going to see a miracle in your family. You say, well, I want a promotion. Start digging ditches. Start coming early. Start staying late. Start doing what you know you can do. Say, I need a financial breakthrough. Start digging ditches. Start putting in an offering or paying your tithe or helping something. Do you what you can and God will do the rest. That's why Zechariah 4:10 says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And when the kings began to dig the small ditches, God says, I'm rejoicing with overflow. That's the lesson we can learn from a man in America named Lonnie Johnson. Lonnie came from just an ordinary family, not too rich. His father was a soldier. His mother was a nurse's aide, but growing up, he was always interested in finding out how things worked. He started inventing things. In fact, once as a child, he nearly burned down his family home by trying to create rocket fuel. Yeah. Lonnie was always creating things. He went to university, got a job, and continued with his projects on the side. Finally, in 1983, he developed a toy called the Super Soaker. The Super Soaker went on to become one of the top-selling toys in the history of the world with over $1 billion in sales, and Lonnie Johnson became a millionaire. And he says this, he says, people often come to him and say, Johnson, you're really lucky. And he says, no, I'm not. Luck had nothing to do with it. I worked for 10 solid years, invention after invention. I worked hard to get where I am. I dug a lot of ditches. I built 1,000 small steps, and I am where I am today because I dug the ditches and God filled them up. And that's what God wants you to do as you prepare for 2018. Do what you can and leave the rest to God. Dig the ditches. Believe God for a miracle. Believe God for overflow, but take those small steps. And that brings us to our third truth today. You've got to labor with the Lord. Everybody fill in the blank with the word labor. See, the Bible says in 2 Kings 3:16, the Lord said, make this valley full of ditches. God said to them, don't just dig one, don't just dig two, but the more you want overflow, the bigger your faith, the bigger your expectation, the more ditches you will dig, the more small steps you will take. So here's the truth you need to pack up and take home with you today. Show me your faith and I'll show you my faithfulness. For the evidence of your faith is not idleness, it's faithfulness. Some people want to overflow and they think that it's just sitting down in faith waiting for God to do something. But James chapter 2, 26 says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. And you have to participate in the miracle. A lot of us want to do nothing and expect God to do everything. We can't do what God can do, but He tells us to make the valley full of ditches. And I want to challenge you to come tonight with your faith intact. Come and make a ditch. Come and bring an offering. Come and bring your prayer request. Come and bring a friend. Begin to make a ditch that God can fill. For only God can supply the overflow, but sometimes He wants you to dig the ditch. Somebody say amen. Amen. A lot of us just want to sit and receive. Reminds me of the young lady who was in need of a job. She began praying, Lord, give me a job. Give me a job with a big pay packet. Then she thought about some more. She said, well, God can do anything. She went back to God and said, God, forget the job. Just give me the pay packet. Forget the job. I don't need to work. Just give me the money. That's not faith. That's foolishness. You want your kids to grow up and succeed? Bring them to church. Show them there's nothing more important than serving God. Dig a ditch. Believe big. Start small. You want to be blessed? Bring an offering. Sow a seed. Believe big. Start small. You want your marriage to be happy? Invest in it. Some of you ladies need to do more giving. Give your husband your attention. Give your attitude a makeover. Give your kids a word of encouragement. Some of you men need to do some more taking. Take your wife on a date. Take your kids to the park. Take a good look in the mirror. And for God's sake, take a bath. Only God can supply the overflow. But sometimes He wants you to dig the ditch. That's the powerful truth we get from Psalm 84, 5 to 7. Blessed are those who strengthen you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. In the Hebrew, the word Baca means weeping. These people are in the valley of weeping. It's terrible. Their lives are filled with grief. But notice their focus is not on their present position. They're focused on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they're not focused on where they are or the trouble they faced. They're focused on their pilgrimage. They're going somewhere. And the Bible says that as they pass through, they make the valley of weeping a place of springs. They're determined to make wherever they are a place of refreshment. Their tears water the ground, and that's the water God uses to bring up refreshing springs. They're determined to see the good everywhere. That's the lesson we can learn from a young man right here in Accra named Joseph Owua Darko. Joseph Owua Darko is a young entrepreneur who's carving out a lucrative business in a very unlikely place. He's turning a valley of weeping into a place of springs and making an impact in our city. You see, Joseph started a business in the e-waste dump of Agbogbloshie. The UN has named Agbogbloshie the most polluted spot in the world. That's right here in Accra. Number one, more than any place. The UN has declared Agbogbloshie, Accra, the number one most polluted spot in the world. It's a burning heap of e-waste, junk, things the Europeans discarded and dumped right here in Accra. Yet Joseph Owua Darko is making high-end furniture and artwork out of the polluted mess of discarded junk. His company picks up junk, turns it into art and furniture, and sells it for a huge, huge profit. When everyone else saw a valley of weeping, Joseph saw springs of refreshing, and he dug a ditch. When everyone else saw the world's most polluted spot, Joseph saw opportunity, and he dug a ditch. Listen to his own words. I choose to see the opportunity within the mess. I choose to see the opportunity to create and turn what has been called a dump into an opportunity. What do you see in your life? What do you see in 2017? Maybe looking back, it looks like a dump. Maybe it looks like a mess. But in that place of mess,
in that wilderness of drought, in the place where nothing good seems to be happening, if you'll simply look to God, your deepest need will become a blessing when it makes you dependent on Him. And don't limit God. Believe big, but be willing to start small. And finally, labor with God. As you trust Him for the overflow, participate in the miracle and start digging a ditch. You can choose to turn your wilderness into a place where overflow is possible. You can choose to prepare yourself so that God can come and do a miracle in you. For when you dig your ditches, God comes through. That's what the Bible says in 2 Kings 3:20. The next morning, about the time for offering the sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom. And the land was filled with water. And I declare to you today, your life will be filled with water. Your life will overflow with the blessings of God. Your life will see the wisdom, the anointing, the power, the opportunity, the blessing, the prosperity, the favor of God. There's an overflow coming in 2018. If you can only see it, if you can only dig the ditch, if you can only look to God, don't limit Him today, but labor with Him and say, God, here I am, a vessel. Fill me up. Till I overflow, I wanna cross over. I wanna cross over. Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna cross over. I wanna cross over. Come on, sing it. Fill me up. Make it your prayer today. Till I overflow. I want to cross over. I want to cross over. Stand and make it your prayer. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to cross over. I'm going to cross over. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord, till I overflow. I want to cross over. I want to cross over. Lift your hands and sing. Fill me up. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me till I overflow. I make room for you, Lord. I open my heart to you today, Lord. I'm going to cross over, Lord. I'm going to cross over. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me up till I overflow. I'm gonna cross over. I'm gonna cross over. Fill me up. Woo! Till I overflow. I'm gonna cross over. I wanna cross over. Fill me up. Lord, we look to you today. We're at the end of the year and the end of ourselves. Forgive us for wandering aimlessly, thinking that the odds were enough, our connections were enough, our talent was enough. We can never do what you can do. Only you give overflow. Lord, we come to you today. We humble ourselves and we look to you. We need you in 2018. We cast ourselves upon you, Lord. We will not limit you. We will not demand that you do it this way or do it that way, that you take us here or take us there. We will not limit your miracle power, God, but we will listen to you. We believe you for overflow, but we're willing to do anything. Give us a shovel, Lord. Let us dig a ditch today, oh God. Let us make this place a habitation
creation. Let us make room for you. God, come down and do it in us again. We won't limit you. We will labor together with you as we do what we can do, what only you can do. Give us overflow, Lord. I declare overflow at Agape House. I declare overflow in the lives of your people. I declare overflow in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Open up your heart and receive it today, right now. Come on and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah, Lord. The hope of a
nation. God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagos. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're here.